Let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. I have been following you on Facebook, Instagram, and X because your adventures in the Philippines. Hello, by the way. In the Philippines look amazing. Hello, Onanta.
Hello. Mabuhay.
Mabuhay. Okay, Mabuhay. What did I just say to you? I hope I wasn't swearing at you.
It's a lovely Filipino exclamation that literally means to live or long live. And it's used to welcome somebody, a toast to life, like cheers, or wish someone prosperity, generally signifying high hospitality, honor, or celebration. And one thing that comes out very clear when you visit the Philippines is they are a gracious, kind, and hospitable people. They're quite lovely.
Well, yes, I think most people can experience that through the Filipino community in just about any city in North America, I think.
And in the world.
And they're very polite and they're very kind, and you are very true.
Yes. Yeah. And not just North America, but the world. I think they are grand explorers, and they go where they need to work and to support their families, which is, again, part of their culture with regards to how they family is first here. And you see that, you know, when they have a meal together, when they travel together, how they live together, because they support their elders and their, it's an extended family life. So it's quite lovely. And, being here, you definitely get to see it. And, this week that we're entering my second week in the Philippines, and it's all about island hopping. So, there's two ways to consider island hopping in the Philippines. One, you can be at a destination like an island itself, like Boracay or Palawan, and you can take a local boat for the day with other people and go from island to island. And, you know, that's nearby to your base. Or what we have been doing is like we're flying or we're taking a ferry to another island, in the chain that's a bit further away. So most of our flights are just over an hour. So when I last talked to you, I was heading to Cebu, and that's after Palawan. And I have to say, like, we arrived not late at night, like around 7 in the evening. So it was dark. It's Sunday night. It was Mother's Day. Belated happy Mother's Day to all. And it was busy. There was traffic everywhere. There was people everywhere. It wasn't just because it was Sunday and your day off, or it was Mother's Day. It was busy. And traffic jams galore. And it was, people would, after we were here days, so would say, like, it's becoming like another Manila. So this was a surprise to me because we've been enjoying very beautiful islands here, you know, walk on the beach, walk into town. Here, it was being in a big city. Yes. Our property that we stayed at, located on the ocean and very beautiful. So you got to experience the ocean life, but it's still a big city. They have huge summits. They actually just had a summit where all the Asian leaders, from the area, came together because they want to be able to communicate each other and create Asia as still a destination for people to come enjoy and have commerce in. So, that was kind of a new impression of the islands, was coming to Cebu. Cause I always heard a lot about Cebu before I got here. I have acquaintances that they're of Filipino origin, and their daughter's coming back here to get married. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be like Hawaii. It's paradise. It can be in certain areas, but not as a general sense. Staying in Cebu, we stayed at the Crimson Resort Spa, and Spa Macan. And it's right on the ocean, like I said. It feels like a very tropical escape from the chaos outside. infinity pools, very beautiful spa, has a Spanish rated, Michelin rated, tapa restaurant that was very good. We enjoyed that the first night. And then the next day we spent a half day exploring Cebu City, which is, perfectly blends like history and culture, mountain views. And yes, the traffic definitely tests everyone's patience. Not that anybody was hurt, but you know, you do, there's a lot of motorcycles. So there, you see some mishaps happen between, this was between a taxi, and a motorcycle. And the, our guide says, I bet you that neither one of those people have insurance and neither one can afford it. And you know, you can kind of see it, happening there. So we started at Fort San Pedro and Plaza Independencias. Soaking up like some good Spanish era atmosphere because that the Spanish were here before the Americans were here. And so you do see some influence of that. And interestingly enough, though, the Spanish language didn't take here, but the English language took here. So everybody speaks English and perhaps their dialect of where their family is from. And then we got to see Magellan Cross, where it's like where history and the faith of the of how the city was created, and it's right in the heart of the city. And then we went to this really beautifully preserved Yap San Diego ancestral home, and it was it's owned by a local family throughout the years, and it's just packed with different artifacts and different everyday living furniture and bedrooms and just, you know, what you would accumulate as a family over the years. And it's very well preserved. And the family actually comes back every weekend and sleeps in it because they don't want the house to be empty. It's kind of, it's very beautiful. And then we went to this, we escaped the city buzz a bit and went to the Cebu Taos Temple, and it's very well maintained, very peaceful views of the city. It's not like a practicing place where religious people would go, but it's just so well maintained. But people do go to pray there, but like monks aren't there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And then it's very well decorated with like this, dragon. And our guide had shared that the dragon has different, parts of animals. So like the skin is of a snake, the eyes of a dragon. And I wish I wrote down all of it because it was very interesting because I'll never look at a dragon the same thinking that, you know, they're created. We didn't spend a lot of time here. Two nights. It's enough unless you are into snorkeling and diving because of the ocean. That's definitely a draw for people. And then from Cebu, we took the ocean ferry versus a plane to go to Bohol, which is another island, and it's a UNESCO heritage site. And it was granted that acclimation not on like a site, like when we went to the underground cave and river, but on the people, because they're focused on preserving the sustainability of the island itself. So that was new, and it's all of Bohol, and it's like over 1,700 islands within this area here. So to go on the ferry is just like going like airport level security. So you had to have your ticket. You had to show your passport before you're allowed to enter the terminal. And then there were sniffer dogs, multiple security checkpoints before boarding. So very, very safe, I guess, for the lack of, you know, all these things that are happening. It's very safe. And then 2 hours later, you arrive in Pangalo, and we check into the Amerita Resort, which is perched above Alona Beach. It's got really nice ocean views. again, infinity pools. They have villas here that have their own infinity pools. I am not in one, but I did sneak in and check some out. And, it's a really nice, calm atmosphere. What I notice here, and again, I notice it everywhere, lots of domestic tourism. So, and not just internally, of Filipinos, but people from other parts of Asia, like Taiwan and Korea and South Korea and Japan. Mm-hmm. As well as I found a lot of, French and Australian people are here as well. So it's nice. It's a nice combination. And then today we went on a full day tour of the island. We went to a couple of different churches, went to see how, traditional salt making process happened. And then it looks like a very hard ball. But then when you are served the salt in restaurants, they actually kind of, shave it like a cheese grater. Yeah, it's quite interesting. And then we went to see these tarsies, and they reminded, it's like an animal. It reminded me of the Tasmanian devil, very small. And really, but they are nocturnal, animals. So you're taken in by the handlers or the guides, and they take your camera and they take the picture. They don't want you crowding it because animals are very sensitive to light and to sound. In fact, if they are too, rattled or scared, I've never heard of this of an animal before, that they actually commit suicide. So that they would hit themselves against a rock, or they would starve themselves. It was very eye-opening. So yeah, they encourage you not to talk and not to take with flashes. And they have a little informational video to share this with you before you actually get taken into the sanctuary. And then after all that, we went to the Chocolate Hills, and it's over 1,000 perfectly shaped green hills, and it just stretches across the landscape. You have to walk up 220 steps to have a very good view. So if you're mobily challenged, it might not be the place for you, but there's other ways to view it. And then, I said, well, is it named Chocolate Hills because it produces cocoa or cacao? And he goes, no. When the Americans were here, there's this one person that saw these hills, and at that time they were not, different parts of the year, they're not covered by greenery, they're dry, and they look like chocolate hills. That's how it came about. So so it was quite interesting. And you do see some influence of when the American army was in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of a term called, or a vehicle called, a jeepney. And, they are, the army had jeeps. They brought jeeps here with guns to protect them. So after there were a few left when they left. But then the Filipinos, they created a vehicle in the same kind of structure as it, but they embellished it, and they made it very colorful. Or they originally were called GPs, but then it became GP, like really quick. Then it became Jeep. And then the knees, so there's two benches on either side in the back. So a person that's in a jeepney, their knees would touch the other person's knees.
Ah, okay.
Jeepney. So, yes. Yeah. But, and they're very, and you can find them everywhere in the Philippines. They're quite amazing. We're flying. It's been a great time. The heat is pretty intense. Like it's, 32 to 35 a day, very humid. And it's, you do have to very much hydrate, wear a hat, wear sunscreen, do all the things that your mom tells you to do, because she's right. Because it really does sap your energy. It may take away your appetite. but it's then you have the beautiful pool and the ocean to relax by and to get into and so on. So tomorrow we're flying back to Manila because we're spending one night there before we fly home, and we're going to take a half day tour, which will include Ritzel Park, and this is where a historical figure called Jose Ritzel was executed during the fight against colonial rule. And then we're going to go to Intramuros, which is an old Spanish wall city that survived centuries of wars and disasters. And then we're going to explore Fort Santiago, Casa Manila, and a UNESCO-listed church called Saint Augustine. And hopefully hear some good stories about the Spanish colonial period and how the country has evolved and such. And again, Manila, I don't know if I said this last week, Manila isn't really the place that tourists come to explore and to visit for long periods of time.
It's just a stopover, right?
Right. To go to the island, the outer islands. And it's more of a commercial destination and business and so on. But it's been lovely. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have come here. Asia is quite attractive to visitors. Like, we're finding that the Philippine peso buys a lot, when you're comparing it to the Canadian currency. So a good place to come in a world that sometimes isn't friendly to our Canadian dollar.
Speaking of world and world events and things like that, have you noticed any shortages or travel disruptions due to maybe jet fuel shortages or anything like that? Any disruptions or anything?
Yes. So before we even got here, a flight that we were going between islands, instead of them offering it every day, they combined it so it maybe is a few times a week. So we had to adjust accordingly. And then, so that's like route consolidations and reduced flight frequency. And then time schedule changes as well. One of our flights with a local carrier, Cebu Pacific, was canceled. And so then we were rebooked on Philippine Airlines. So yes, we did see it in Palawan. When we were having a very lovely lunch on the ocean, it was in front of, some like almost glamping or like tents. But it was so quiet. It was very empty. So the hotelier told us that they've seen a wave of cancellation because many international travelers assume suddenly it's just too expensive to fly to the Philippines. And that's like Europeans coming, or maybe even North Americans and such. They used to have tons of visitors from South Korea, and that's kind of trickled down a bit as well. So I think people are maybe thinking of shorter trips versus a long-haul trip in this jet fuel crisis. I have clients that are going on European river cruises, and, I've had multiple questions about, well, what happens if we're there and our flight cancels, or, what to do, or, and so on. So it's on people's mind, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it is part of, I think people still want to travel, but they may be changing where to.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's to safe travels back home, and for enlightening us on the Filipino culture and traveling around the Philippines. So Nanda Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Onanda Forbes. That's where you'll find lots of amazing photos of the Philippines, and onandaforbes.com is her website. And thanks again.
Thank you. Have a good week.